It's Deprogram, the podcast where we try to get you into a band. That's right. We've done all the work for you. All you have to do is press play and listen to us talk about the go-betweens today. And, today specifically when we're recording this, a very special day in Australia. By the time it releases, it'll only be a couple weeks from now. But Adam, it worked out. We are recording this on a holiday for you. Talk to me about the go-betweens and why you felt like we needed to talk about them today.
Thanks, Justin. The go-betweens were a really important Australian band through the 80s. But they never really got their due, even in Australia. They were always an underground band. There's a whole raft of fantastic bands that came out in the 80s in Australia. The Church, the Triffids, quite a few others. They fitted into that group to some degree, but they just never really got the accolades they deserved. I just wanted to talk a little bit about them and the members of the band. So they had basically two key songwriters, Robert Forster and Grant McLennan, and they both wrote quite a lot of songs. They both wrote 50-50 percent of the song. So most albums only have 10 songs and they write 5 each, but they sound so integrated. The songwriting is so perfectly balanced. Forster was much more dark and surrealistic and cynical in his songwriting, whereas Grant McLennan could just write the most amazing hooks. And whilst they got very close to breakthrough albums and songs, and they did have some minor radio play, they just never quite made it. So I think they really deserve to get an airing today.
Yeah. I'll get into my, relationship here, but it is interesting that we have another American on board. Cause Gavin, you jumped right on, the go-betweens. So talk to me about like how you found out about this band and why you felt that, you were the right person to come talk about them.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me again. I'm stoked to be on this with Adam for sure. I love doing this with Adam and but especially for this this band. They were just, they were a weird new wave band. I agree. They're very Australian. I think it is weird for an American to be into them. I got into the Go-Betweens in 87 when they were on Beggar's Banquet, when Beggars signed them for the Tallulah record, and Beggars had a lot of good bands on, like Love and Rockets and The Fall and stuff during that year. I have kind of a hot take for Adam. So Go-Betweens, in my opinion, are not an easy band to love. Like, I've tried for many, many years, and I finally, I think, achieved it. But their songs can be challenging, awkward, they can have baffling choruses. You kind of get captured by them. Like they're a deeply intriguing band. Mm-hmm. They're a very endearing band and an incredibly interesting band, mm-hmm. but not like an easy band. That was, I was stoked, Justin, when you were like, oh, I have so many songs. I was kind of like, is Justin gonna have any songs? You know what I mean? Is he gonna have zero songs? I can like put on a record like Liberty Bell or Spring Hill Fair, and I can hear like 5 songs in a row that don't speak to me. And then the 6th song is like the best song I've ever heard. Mm. And it's going on all my mixes forever. I always kind of knew, even when I was a kid, though, I was like, I don't really like a lot of this. But it's my fault. Like, it's me. It's not you. Like, I was like, I'm not ready for this yet. And so it's like a book that you go back to. You're like, I know that this book is really deep. I'm just too young for it. So I've gone back and back to the Go-Betweens year after year. And they continue to reward you, you know? And I think, like, Justin, like, when you always say, I love it when I put on the first song, it kicks in. I'm like, oh, I totally understand what this band is. I get it. And I'm all in. And it's like, that is not this band.
That's not the go-betweens.
Right, no, Adam? From song to song, album to album, they are so different. And like you talked about, the two songwriters are so different, but there is a thread that's essentially go-betweens that runs through the entire catalog, right? I feel like
that's what's so amazing. Yeah.
For Americans, they're like grad school for new waivers, you know? Like, yeah, you can be into the Smiths and the Cure, but are you ready for the go-betweens? You know what I mean? And I think I'm more drawn to their warmth and not their distance, you know? And what's weird, I think what you said, Adam, about the difference between the songwriters, I think that like they also surprise you. McLennan can write, he's usually the warmth, but he can write really discordant, weird songs, you know? And Forster can write beautiful, warm songs when he's really usually the one that's really kind of angular and obscure and stuff, you know? So,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to say my last sentence here. It's almost like, this is my another hot take. It's almost like they're terrible songwriters, both of them, that stumble into these like amazing songs, which is maybe why you root for this band so hard. And it's like the secret to their charisma.
I'd love to get Adam's response to that before I get
into
it.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, everyone's got an opinion. I guess I do relate to what you're saying, Gavin. And I got to say too, I'm so happy to be doing this one with you because We did the Echo and the Bunnymen, the Smiths, and this feels like a trilogy to me. You know, and in a lot of ways, I honestly think if they were from the UK, because their sound is UK sound. There's a lot of Australian lyrics and a lot of Australian references, but at the heart of it, I feel like they dig deep from Echo and the Bunnymen, the Smiths, and a lot of other sounds that were happening at the time. I just feel like I think they've got some songs that are just pop gems. They are beautiful songs, and we will talk about some of those today that just, they should be known by everybody. There are some absolute pop gems that they have in their catalogue. But they also do have some really weird shit. and the song, the interplay between Forster and McLennan is quite magical. I mean, they were best mates. Tragically, actually, Grant McLennan died of a heart attack in 2006. He was only 48. He was preparing for a party that he was hosting and just died of a heart attack. And they'd reformed then, and they were getting their mojo back, and they were starting to get a lot more feedback here in Australia too. I mean, they are loved here, particularly in Brisbane, their hometown. They've actually named a bridge after the go-betweens. So they are parochially loved in Australia. And when we get into songs, I'll definitely bring out some references that are songs about particular parts of Australia. But they're just sort of underground. I don't know. I kind of get what you mean. For me personally, this is the deepest dive I've ever done on them. And they're right up there in one of my favorite bands of all time. I just can't get enough of them at the moment. I'm just not listening to much else but them. They got the hooks in for me big time. Big time.
Yeah.
I think, Gavin, you hit the word that struck me pretty early on immediately was interesting. I found, cause yes, there are some like popular numbers that kind of like easier to access, accessible, however you want to phrase it, that kind of hooked me. But then there's like a couple, like, especially on that first record that I was like, oh wait, this isn't as straightforward as I thought it was going to be. And so like I found myself, I think because of it's that interesting, it makes you pay attention more. And if you're paying attention more, then, I mean, it's a lot easier to gravitate towards. So, like, I found myself, especially on that first pass, paying attention. Like, whereas a lot of times on a first pass, I kind of can only give a song like 30, 45 seconds, you know. I found myself listening to entire songs and going, oh, the song's over. Okay, that one was good. I got through it. So yeah, interesting was definitely the word that I came away with, and interesting is always going to be on that balance of challenging as well. They're going to be near each other, I feel like.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were definitely the words that I came away from, and to me, that made it all the more hard for this next level. There isn't a lot of music here, Adam. Like, what was it? Like four records and an EP, five records and an EP, something like that.
Six albums.
Okay,
we've got all their '80s studio albums, plus their early singles. What we don't have, for anyone listening at home that's a fan, there might be a few. We don't have when they reformed in the 2000s, because I don't think you guys have that on Spotify. But
we've got their
peak period. And yeah, so six albums. Yeah.
So as you're parsing through it, like, what are you looking to bring to the table? Like, as somebody, especially like, as you mentioned, they've kind of got their hooks in you right now. Like, what are you looking to kind of present to people to kind of bring to the table here today?
Well, I've got a really hot take as well, and this will be interesting to see what Gavin thinks of this. I'm not a fan at all, really, of their early singles much, or their first album. Oh. I think it's pretty average. It's generally not seen as that they'd hit their straps yet. It's really from Beyond Hollywood onwards where they really found themselves. That's the general consensus, and I agree with that. That general consensus. Of course, everyone's got their own opinion. So I've got five albums that I'm mainly digging into when I'm getting my songs together. And there's a couple of albums in particular that really every single song I love. So I just found it so difficult to trim it back. At one stage, I think I said to you guys, I'm going to need some time now. So I don't know what to do. It felt a little bit like the Nick Cave one, actually, when I'm trying to kill songs I really love. But in the end, I wanted to get a spread across their albums. So like I said, they've got six albums. And they do fall into, there is phases through their career. They started to bring in different sounds. As they went, Amanda Brown, she joined them in 86, and she's a multi-instrumentalist. So that's when they started bringing in a lot of strings, oboes, all sorts of different sounds. So they really opened up their sound in that later period, which is probably considered their peak by many. So I tried to get a spread, though, across as much as I could, but it's definitely not an even list. Let's put it that way.
So as you're combing through it, Gavin, like, what is your approach here? Like, how are you looking at it, and what are you trying to bring to the table?
Yeah, I agree with Adam's take on the early singles and the first even couple records, I guess. I before Hollywood, I don't think that they totally graduate that kind of art-damaged Talking Heads worship thing that they were doing. But it was this was really easy for me. It was so clear. This song is not for me. I absolutely love this song. It was like, where it got hard was when you get to the last record, 16 Lovers Lane, because every single song in that record is like so incredible. And I actually had to tally up, Adam, I had to do a tally on how many Forster songs did I have and how many McLennan songs I had.
Oh, yeah.
That helped me make the final cuts on 16 Lovers Lane to try to even it out. You know, it was cool going through this. I mean, there's so much stuff we don't have on this list. Like, they put out a couple of box sets where they just had volumes of unreleased stuff for B-sides. Are so great. Most of my favorite go-between stuff is not on this list. And so for this exercise, I was actually listening to just the records again, appreciating songs I didn't before, mostly from Spring Hill and Liberty Bell. I liked Tallulah less than I thought I did when I went through it again. But this was pretty easy for me.
So here's something interesting that you just hit on. Like 16 Lovers Lane, I think, was the most difficult for me as well. Like I immediately fell in love with it. Like it's super easily accessible and just like full.
It's a classic. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, yeah. Just full of great, great songs. So when I said I had so many songs, I accidentally didn't do this on purpose, came out with even like every record I pulled 7 songs from on my first pass. And as I go cutting through, I'm like, oh, and I accidentally came out all even. And
that's awesome.
Since I didn't do it on purpose, I left it. I was like, if I would have done it on purpose, I might've gone back and given some listens, but I think I came out to about 3 songs per album. I was like, well, you know what? That kind of speaks volumes that, and it, you know, it, again, to your point, like I feel like that first record, they're not there yet, but like I still had 3 from it because there was like a couple points where I was like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. So like I brought some of that to go, hey, by the way, they started this on the first record. And you can kind of hear where they're making the pushes. But yeah, 16 Lovers Lane was like, again, whenever I do this, I get to the last record on the list and I'm thinking that's where all the easy cuts are going to be. I'm going to be able to find I'm going to find the ones that like really stick out the easiest. But no, you know, that one I think may have had more than 7. But if memory serves, I think I came out at 7 on everything. So
that one almost made them big. Like that was a minor hit here in Australia, but just didn't quite get the traction because they were still too weird for the general public. But you know, one thing I found I did read about is that of the 6 albums, the Robert and Grant favorites were the even numbered ones. So, and they've kind of put them in pairs. So Before Hollywood was the 2nd album. Then, so the even numbers are Before Hollywood, Liberty Bell, and 16 Lovers Lane. Mm-hmm. And that the odd numbered albums were kind of like the practice album to get for the new one, for the even one, if you like. And when I read that and started listening that way, I really heard that. I could hear that Spring Hill Fair was kind of preparing for Liberty Bell and Tallulah was preparing for 16 Lovers Lane. So it was really interesting.
That totally makes sense. That's really good.
Yeah, I like that. Well, I mean, it sounds like we all kind of have the same feeling, but it also sounds like we all kind of built our lists very differently. So
yeah, I think we might have.
So when you think of it that way, Adam, based on everything that's kind of been said so far, how many do you think we're going to get through unanimously for the final say?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I feel like we might still get quite a few, but we might also get quite a lot of ones for some reason. I feel like I might have quite a lot of ones. But I think we're all in agreement about 16 Lovers Lane. But I have made sure I don't have anything more than 4 or 5 on any album. So I've cut songs that I absolutely love. So I'm going to go, what am I saying? Just get it out, Adam. Come on. I'll go 5. 5? I'll go 5.
Okay. Okay. Right in the middle of the road. I like that. What do you think, Gavin?
I think 5 is the right number. And so if I need to go on either side of that, I'm going to err on the positive. So I'm going to go 6.
Okay. Well, you know, what do we got here? 70, 72, 6. I think it turned out to be actually 69, but there was ones that were showing up in America that weren't in Australia, or strike that in reverse, whichever way it was. So, 5 seems right on the money, but 7 seems like too many. 4 seems like too little, but do I go a positive or negative, I guess is the question. I don't want another win. It's too hard. I don't like it. So, all right. With that being said, I'd rather walk into being right on accident by being positive than by being a jerk. So I'll go with 7.
Wow.
I'll go with 7.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean,
wow, that is bold.
Yeah. Like I said, I want to be wrong anyway, but I'd rather if I'm going to be right, it's because we hit on a lot. So I'd rather it be that be the case. All right. So
yeah, that's cool.
We're going to take a quick pause. And when we come back, we're going to play the game. It's the program. And with that, the name of the game is Deprogrammed. The three of us have come through most of the Go-Betweens' discography and plucked out 20 songs that we're now going to mash together in an attempt to create a top 10 starter kit for you in case you have never given the Go-Betweens the time of day. And you know what? It's quite possibly that you've done that. And like I've said before, we're here to rectify that. So I've been avoiding doing this a lot on episodes, but this is the kind of band where I have to, I feel like, because they're a band I didn't know at all. I didn't know from Adam, as the saying goes. And I typically don't like going here because it seems like it's a very Justin move, but it really set the tone right for me. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It'll happen. But I feel like this was a great play. This set me in the right mood for this band. Your turn, my turn.
No.
I had a feeling when you guys said
it wasn't my first cut though. But yeah, just too many songs later that I love more.
Yeah, I had a feeling, but like to me again, like to me, this it really did get me ready for this band. So like if I couldn't not include it, so I could see, yeah. I could see where
I can get that
you guys knew the band already. I could, you know, if I knew them already, maybe I could have left it off, but it set the tone for me. So like I kind of had to bring it to the table. So
it's definitely one of the strongest songs. It's one of the strongest songs off that album by a fair way. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Sounds kind of seasick, you know. It's kind of a nauseous song.
Yes. Yeah. It has that, you know, it didn't, the interestingness of it didn't really click into me until my second pass. And, you know, I'll get to some of the other songs that kind of were easier but Seasick is a great way to put it. I like that.
That first album, there's so much discordant sort of sound.
Yes.
That they did sort of mature that a little bit, didn't they? Refined it on later albums. They still do it, but they were a little bit more selective about when. Whereas on that first album, it's like everything's discordant. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. It's challenging. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to go. So when we first, I don't know if you remember this, Gavin, but when we did the Echo and the Bunnymen episode, I referred to one of their songs off of Crocodile, reminding me of the Go-Betweens. And I think that's where where you said, oh, I like the Go-Betweens. And
yeah,
that was the genesis. That was the genesis for this episode. and so I'm going to go where I think they first arrived, which is track one of their second album, Before Hollywood, which just reminds me of early Echo.
A Bad Debt Follows You.
Before Hollywood.
Oh, the song Before Hollywood. Got it.
Yeah, sorry. The song Before Hollywood. I thought it was the first song. Maybe it's not.
I don't have it.
Neither do I, unfortunately. Nope.
Okay. Wow. Two strikes.
It's going to be one of those days, fellas. Strap in.
Yeah. But it definitely has an Echo on the Bunnymen sound. The early. Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Gavin?
Okay, so I'm going to go for strike three just right out the gate because it'll make us lucky later. So I really love the B-side to their second single. It's called Don't Let Him Come Back, and it's like one of my favorite Go-Between songs. Is that striking any chords with you guys?
I don't know. I didn't.
It was on my long list. I do like that song a lot. Yeah, but no, I didn't make it, unfortunately.
I definitely had it on my first pass too, but stuff had to go, as the saying goes. Yeah. So, all right. This song already kind of came up by accident, and since I have it, I might as well throw it out there. A Bad Debt Follows You.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Okay. What did you say, Gavin?
He said no.
I said no.
Well. Yeah. No. All right.
Wow.
Adam?
What are we doing? We have nothing. What actually happens if we had... What would happen, Justin, just theoretically, if we had nothing?
If we had all ones, it would just be... We would just have to... Somebody would have to bend. Like, somebody would have to go, you know what? Yeah. This one is fine by me. Because that's never happened. We've gotten zero before. We've gotten no unanimouses before. And then that, you just take whatever twos and then discuss your way to fill out the list. But we've never gotten all ones. I can't imagine. There's got to be a couple here that we're going to have.
No, it's not, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
No way.
And I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to one that I think should be a home run now. So I'm going to go all the way to the last album, 16 Lovers Lane. And the song that is the most famous song in Australia. That's means it's still 70% of people probably never heard it, but 30% of the people love it. And that's Streets of Your Town.
Oh. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, good. I don't have it, but that's a two. We'll take the two at this point in the game.
Wow. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to make this blanket statement now about 16 Lovers Lane. Like, you knock me over with a feather with any of those songs. It really was dealer's choice. So.
But right. Go ahead.
Sorry, you go.
Adam, I was just going to say that song is so, like, subversive. It's, like, so innocent sounding. And they talk about that striped sunlight sound, the Australian sound. But it's like a Patricia Highsmith novel, like a Ripley novel or something. There's all this darkness happening in this town. That's a really complex, literate. That is a literate song. It's really great.
It really is amazing. And I was reading, because even though they wrote this song separately, they shared the songs a little bit with each other, because they were good friends. And Robert, so this is a Grant song, and you can tell because it's just got that pop shimmering sound. That's Grant. I read an article where Robert said, you know, I always knew all the songs, but at the last minute when they were making 16 Lovers Lane, Grant just says, "Oh, I've got this one as well." Just started playing this song that he wrote in 10 minutes, apparently, which is, I mean, it's a classic. And and Robert said in the article I read, he said he was a bit miffed that he didn't even know about it. But it's turned out to be there. It's probably the closest thing to a hit that they've got.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
Great story.
All right. Gavin?
Yeah, I'm totally not even worried, guys. I'm so not worried. I'm still going to stick on the weird ones. I don't think you guys will have. So from the first album, which I know is Adam's favorite, do you guys have One Thing Can Hold Us?
Nope.
Not.
Okay.
Nope. I honestly don't know where that dropped out either. Like, it could have been on my long list. I unfortunately do not remember. All right. Well, let's try some more 16, shall we? Let's see. Top of my list here. How about, I mean, it's got an exclamation point. So let's go Love Goes On.
Totally.
100%, mate. Yeah, hey, excellent song.
There we go. There we go. Love Goes On is the first one in. All the way in. It's a first, you know, it's a track one. But again, like, with all the different things that they do on each record, like, I thought it was important to, I mean, I'm glad it was just a great song as well, but like, I thought it was important to go, hey, this is the tone setter for this, like, which is possibly at this point, between the things that the three of us have all said about it, their best record. So,
yeah.
All right. We got one. We got one.
I think it might be my second favorite album now, though, actually.
Ooh.
But anyway.
Ooh. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right. Adam?
So maybe I was going to go somewhere else, but maybe I need to go to the album that I think is now my favorite. And that is Liberty Bell and the Black Diamond Express. That album, I just can't stop listening to it. And they are awesome opening track band. And I'm going to go with the opening track from that album, Spring Rain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I got it.
Nice.
Yeah, here we are. There we arrived. We?
I mean, that's one of their, I mean, that song is just magical.
Oh, it is magical. I can't, there's songs like that. I can't stop. I could just listen to them on repeat. Like,
yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah.
The video is so great too. When they're playing in the rain. So just so cool.
All right.
I think I had nine songs. I had nine songs off this album, off Liberty Bell to start with. Well, I haven't in the end. I cut them back, but I just really love that album a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Gavin?
Okay. Throwing more curveballs. I'm going to stay on the first record. Do you guys have Hold Your Horses?
You are taking the weird ones. No, I don't have that one.
No.
All right. I retried that one. Well, I mean, we haven't gone to Spring Hill yet, so let's trot one of those out. How about Bachelor Kisses?
Yes.
Yes, that's just gorgeous song. Gorgeous.
My God. It's also where, I mean, it's where you put that record on. It's the third record. You're like, where did this song come from? Because you're just coming off of these like really difficult two records. And it's like all of a sudden they're the go-betweens. Like, boom, first song, you know? It's so crazy.
That's so true. And that talks to what I was saying before, Gavin, that like if you think so, Spring Hill Bear was the precursor to Liberty Bell. So that's the start of their next phase, right? So
yeah,
the first two, Lullaby and Hollywood, definitely the Echo and the Bunnymen, angular, harder to get your head around sounds, a bit more avant-garde as well, a little bit discordant. And then they just suddenly, I think the Grant McLennan influence came in a bit more actually. And he found his voice a bit more from here onwards. And then that beautiful pop element comes in.
Agreed. And I think bringing Robert Vickers in on bass for that record and kind of breaking up that weird, the triad of the three of them. I think Vickers is so important to that band, you know?
Very important. Yeah.
All right. Well, just like that, we're at three. So with plenty, plenty of gameplay left. So much so that Gavin is still playing his weird ones. So, all right. Bachelor Kisses was me. Adam, you're up.
Okay. So I'm going to tell a little story on this one before I say the song. So I read that this song was written. So they spend a lot of time in the UK, like a lot of Australian bands trying to make it big, did in the 80s. So apparently this song was written in about 10 minutes as well by Grant McLennan on Nick Cave's guitar while he was unconscious on heroin.
Oh, Jesus.
In a room. So there's the entry to the song. And the song is a very Australian song and was a minor indie hit at the time. It's Cattle and the Cane off of Before Hollywood.
Oh, man. Nope.
Yes.
Okay. We'll take the two, you know.
So, and the lyrics, man, just unbelievable.
Yeah. Can we just, so I just want to say something about Cattle and Cain. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Cattle and Cain, you know, I understand why Justin wouldn't, you know, it's not like, you know, jumps immediately out at you or something. It's that, but that song is subtle, but that for sure, in my opinion, is without a doubt their first masterpiece and,
yeah,
and possibly the best song they ever wrote, in my opinion. I've never been to Australia, but it's my fantasy of like what Australia feels like. You can feel the sun on your face. You can smell the dust in the air. It is so evocative. Like it puts you in a story and you're walking through this field and like, it is just an incredibly beautiful, beautiful song.
It's all about Queensland and, you know, the cattle and the cane fields. So for me as an Australian, I don't really relate to it from where I live down south, but it's the warm Queensland kind of, climate. And the lyrics are, I think a lot of it is about Grant's upbringing, I'm pretty sure. And it's so Australian, but so still has that new wave edge to it.
Yes.
That was all the, you know, I do wonder if Fredo would like David Chains.
Yeah.
Because probably mainly because a lot of the bands that have been covered in the last 18 months on this podcast, Justin, you know, Sushi and the Banshees, all these sorts of artists were coming through this era. Like, I feel like the Go-Betweens with this song, Seb, we should be in the conversation too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's an epic song.
Oh, the guitar, the bass tones are so clean and ringing and like chimey and so great.
All right. Well, we take the two. That's again, suddenly we're doing very well. Like it felt like maybe we wouldn't be, but we're doing very well. All right. Gavin.
Let's see if we can screw that up. So, okay, here's a weird one, Adam. So, on Before Hollywood, I'm gonna pick a song that always has felt like Cattle and Cain's like sister song.
I'm very excited.
It's not as good. It's really dark, but it has like it belongs right next to Cattle and Cain. They share something in common, and that's a song called Dusty in Here.
Oh no, I don't have that.
Oh shit. Fucking hell, sorry. Oh man, that's just outside my 20.
It's one of those things where sometimes you,
that's one of those painful cuts. Yeah,
you overthink it. All right,
I'm kind of perversely shooting for the trash today for some reason.
Such a good song though.
All right, this feels an appropriate time to try this one out from Liberty Bell. How about Apology Accepted?
Yes.
Oh, I do not have Apology Accepted.
Okay, we got a two then.
That's such a great pop song. Yeah,
boom. We take the twos where we can get the twos. All right, yep. Adam?
Okay, so I'm going to pick a song from Tallulah. And this song, I think at this point, they were really trying to get a bit of a hit, make a bit of a hit. And they were spending a lot of time in the UK. And this song sounds like a UK new wave hit. In fact, it did actually get into the UK charts at number 82 in the UK charts. So they did have some traction there. And it's called Right Here.
Yeah, I got that.
Yes.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stop listening to that one either.
Oh, my God. One of those ones.
Keep putting it on.
It's so great. And, you know, it's almost too sweet, like too saccharine, like too poppy. But the words are so great, and the band is so fucking great at that point. And that's a total McLennan song, of course. That's the first song that I loved by them. It's the song that got me into the Go-Betweens. I love that song.
So an interesting thing too is that Robert Forster was in a relationship with Lindy Morrison, who was the drummer.
Yeah.
And when Amanda Brown joined, Grant was in a relationship with her. So they were kind of like ABBA.
Yeah.
Weird sort of a way. And if you watch the film clip of this song, so I would encourage you to go and Google it afterwards and watch it on YouTube. It's just, it makes you feel beautiful after watching it because they're all, you can see that they're all loved up and with each other. And, you know, it's just, they are right in the zone on this song. And it should have been a bigger song. It is real UK sounding, isn't it? It's got that UK new wave sound, totally. But it should have been a bigger hit.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great pop song.
I'm going to put this out here before we move on to Gavin's turn. I think this is 2 days with two ABBA references. Two days, two episodes, two ABBA references. So,
they're very loved in Australia, actually, ABBA. Very loved. So there you go. That might be why.
The proof is in the pudding. All right.
It was on like a Slayer episode or something.
it was the Phoenix Foundation, but it was with two Australians. So what are you going to do?
That's what I thought you meant. Yeah. Yep. I thought you meant that. Yeah.
So, all right. Gavin?
Okay. I'm going to go to Spring Hill Fair. This is a song kind of like what you were talking about, Adam, where, you know, on the first two records, they do this angular, difficult stuff, but then they get better at it. So there's a song called Park Company on Spring Hill Fair. It's a Forster song, of course. And it is that. It's like the old Go-Betweens recipe, but they're so much better at it by that point that I really love it.
I got it.
I've got it too. I fucking love that song.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just like that, we're at Adam's five.
I did not expect you guys would have that. That's amazing.
And I agree with everything you said, Gavin. It's well said. Like, they just pulled it all together on that one. Yeah.
And Adam, the B-side to that song is on the 7-inch. It's called He's Just a King in Mirrors. And it's about Nick Cave. And it's like one of my all-time favorite songs by them. It's so great.
Yeah, okay. I have to check that out. Because they were good friends with Nick Cave.
They did a record together.
I think.
They did a weird record together. I think it was called After the Fireworks. That was like the name of the band, and it was the birthday party and the Go Betweens together.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I'm gonna check that out.
It's a really weird. And then the B side like plays the song backwards or something. It's like really weird.
All right. Park Company is in?
Yes.
All right. Back
excellent.
To me.
That's so good. I'm so happy that's in there. That's straight in. That's such a great one to have straight in.
Yeah, and like I said, we're already at year five. I mean, there's still a good amount of gameplay left.
It's heaps. Too, so,
yeah. We're going to rocket past six. This is crazy.
It needs to rocket past my seven then, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You've got to fight a win, Justin. You've got to fight a win. Back yourself. Come on, mate.
I've won way too many times this year. It's driving me nuts. Let's see. All right. Well, let me play the trash bin game and see if I can find the bin. This was the minute I knew, okay, they are something different. You know, we keep talking about the angular and the... This was the first time I went, interesting. And it made me pay attention, and I had to bring it to the game, even if it is a miss. Midnight to Neon.
No. Where is that?
Wow.
It's on the first record, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, sorry.
Yeah, I had a feeling. But to me, it was like, it's funny, like, it is the bad version of Park Company. It's very weird. It's like, okay, this isn't at all what I thought I was getting into. I thought I was getting into like pretty much just a straightforward, you know, maybe gothy type thing. And this is just, it's almost numeric. I loved that. And in hindsight, it really doesn't belong in the list. But like I said, I couldn't ignore that this was when I knew I was in for something different. So
that's awesome.
All right, Adam?
Okay, so if I was to make a playlist of my favorite songs featuring the oboe, I've only got one, really. And it would be Bye Bye Pride.
Oh, totally.
Okay, good. That was, you know, I don't know very many that were, you know, where they dropped out, but Bye Bye Pride, if it wasn't 21, it was like 22 or 23. It was like very, very, very late. So,
yeah, I love that song so much. It's kind of, it's the other single, right? It's kind of a sister song to Right Here.
Yeah.
Adam and the words of Bye Bye Pride, the lyrics are like so fantastic. And he was really in love with Amanda and all of that. And like, that's just like an incredible pop song, like so great.
I get what you mean though about Tallulah. It doesn't bat as deep as some of the other albums, in my opinion, but the best songs on it are just epic. But yeah, that song is just, and that's when they started getting the kind of the choruses with the dual singing and, you know, multiple voices in there, and it just started to get a little bit more pop sensibility as well around this time, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's great songs on it. I think it's kind of, for me, it's split 50-50.
I get that. All right, so let's see. That one, what did we just do? You got
Bye
Bye Pride. So it's your turn, Gavin.
Was that a two?
Yeah, it was a two. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to Spring Hill Fair and Forrester kind of come, you know, writing a really great, kind of really beautiful pop. I don't know if it's pop, but beautiful song called Draining the Pool for You.
No, I don't have that one.
Yes.
Hey.
All right.
Yes. And so far, we have found each other on every song off that album.
Yeah, like Gavin. That's right. Yeah.
It's crazy times.
That's song.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Let me try one of these other Tallulah jams that I got. How about I Just Got Caught Out?
No.
All by myself. So it was I Just Got Caught Out, and anybody it is funny, I just got caught out, but we had to cut. So
yeah, because I just got kicked out.
Yes. So, did you have I Just Got Caught Out?
It was very close for me, but unfortunately not. But I'm kicking myself now. I wish I did. Because it was, I agonized on it. It's a great song.
Well, it gets one and it goes into the bin. All right, Adam, you're up.
Okay. So they often got referenced as a band that, did have a bit of a Smith sound. I think particularly Grant McLennan's writing style had that jangly pop kind of thing, a little bit like Johnny Marr. And I think one of the songs where that stands out the most is Head Full of Steam off of Liberty Bell.
I don't have Head Full of Steam. I know it's a great song, and a lot of people I know love it. It's not in my top.
I don't have a reason for you. I just don't have it. So, sorry. I apologize.
It might be too much. Maybe it's too close to the Queen is Dead era for you, Gavin. Won't open that again. But yeah.
All right, Gavin.
I'm going to stay on Tallulah, and there's a pair of really weird Forrester songs back to back on that record that are so intriguing and beguiling. Do you guys have Spirit of a Vampire?
No. That was a very...
No, I don't. Sorry.
That one definitely made my first pass, though. I don't have a reason for not having it. It definitely rung a bell for me. It just didn't hang around. So,
There's going to be a riot in Brisbane, y'all.
Yeah, that's a great song. Great
song. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I still have 10 left, so maybe we just do a couple more rounds. I mean, we've already hit the 5, so like we really only need a couple more rounds, and then we can dump out, I feel like.
Okay.
So let's see. We haven't been back to Lover's Lane in a while. How about Quiet Heart?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. With there, just like that. Back to number 6. No.
That's another one that was a little bit of a minor hit for them as well. And it is a very loved song. Yeah. Quiet Heart. It's a beautiful song. Just
that
epic.
Song's a destroyer. It just makes me cry, like, immediately.
Mm.
Like, as soon as it says the heater's on, it's like, oh, my God. It just right. That song just goes, stabs you right in the heart. It's crazy.
Absolutely. The heaters are on and the windows are thin. It's so good at painting a picture in that first line.
Bad blood between us, yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, Adam.
Okay, I'm actually going to pick a song that has a great opening line too, and I'll set the line in a second. I'm not expecting to land. It's on Tallulah, the Clark Sisters.
Yes.
Hey.
Oh, cool.
That's the sister song to Spirit of a Vampire I was talking about. That's awesome.
Do you have that, Justin?
I don't, but again, we'll take the two.
So what I would encourage you to do is listen to it. The opening part of it is almost the same as Something in the Way from Nirvana. They must have listened to it. It's like they lifted the first part of it.
Interesting.
And the opening lyrics, like this, I think this shows as well how much McLennan in particular had a lot of humor in his writing, or they both did actually in their writing. They had problems with their father-in-law. They had problems with their father-in-law. They slept in the back of a feminist bookstore, the Clark Sisters. What is that even about? So the sisters that all had problems with their father-in-law and slept in the back of a feminist bookstore, the Clark Sisters. Just so funny. So funny.
Love it.
Great.
All right, Gavin?
I'm going to go to 16 Lovers Lane, a really beautiful Forrester song. Do you guys have Love as a Sign?
No.
No, just because I couldn't put them all in.
Yeah.
It was for sure on my first pass. That one was 1,000% was on my first pass, but did not make my final cut. All right, and then this will be our last round, and then we'll dump out. So I feel like I should try to do one that actually has a chance, but I don't know which one that is. Well, you know what? I brought up the word chance, and I have a song that has the word chance in it. So we're going to go to Before Hollywood. How about By Chance?
No.
That was one of the really hard cuts for me. It's 22, 23, somewhere around there.
All right. Well, he swings, he misses.
I think I made a mistake. I made a mistake because that's a really good song.
Adam always says that.
Yeah. All right, Adam. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go the last song before they broke up on the albums anyway. Die for Your Memory off of 16 Lovers Lane.
My favorite go-between song.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Now I feel like a dick.
It's so good. It is so bloody amazing. And then they broke up. It's like, wow. Talk about going out on an absolute high.
Well, I can't bring that to the unanimous side, but what a resounding two that is. So
I was just playing it for like my best friend yesterday, and it's one of those songs, like I was just saying about Quiet Heart, where it taps the vein every time. Like, it doesn't matter how many times you hear it, your heart just jumps up in your throat. It's like immediately.
Yeah.
It's a perfect song.
Wow. All right, Gavin.
I'm gonna stay on 16 Lovers Lane and knock out Clouds by Robert Forster.
No, I don't have that one.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
Great.
Wow.
Wow. We have a lot of
another two.
A lot of two. Me and Adam.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna start at the top of my list here and just dump out. I've got It Could Be Anyone.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
Didn't think so. Two Steps, Step Out.
Nope.
No.
All right. The Old Way Out.
Nope.
No.
All right. To Reach Me.
No.
Did I have that? That was close. No.
Okay.
No, but very close, I think. Yeah.
Cut It Out.
No.
Nope.
Then let's see. These are from two from the singles. Lee Remick.
No, that's a cool song.
It's a cool song. It's such a cool song, but no.
And People Say.
No.
I want to put it out there. I just put those in there for the different sounds. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
Just I really wanted to round out my experience here. And then last but not least, from Lover's Lane, Was There Anything I Could Do?
Close, but I didn't have it.
I didn't have it. That was actually a bit of a hit as well. Or was known, not most people know that song here, but I actually didn't have it either. I like it, but I think there's better ones for me. But,
so that means Gavin is going to win our final say with six. You guys can both make,
well done, Gavin.
You guys can both make the conversation a little bit more rough here, though. You want to dump out, Adam?
Yeah, I'll start with. So I now can say I actually had nothing on the early singles or the first album. I couldn't drop anything from the other five, so I just went, well, I'm going to do it that way. But I've still got a couple off before Hollywood. I've got Ask.
No.
And On My Block.
Mm. No.
On My Block is fucking great, by the way.
Okay.
Then if I go down, all of my Spring Hill Fairs are gone. I've got... Twin Layers of Lightning off of Liberty Bell.
No, but I love that song. It was like one of my very last cuts.
This is getting messy. It's hard to keep track of what I've got. On Tallulah, and this reminded me a bit of Nick Cave, the storytelling element. Someone Else's Wife.
Mm.
Uh-oh. It does sound like a Nick Cave song. I don't have it.
I think that is me. That's me out.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
And then just for fun, Gavin, whatever you got left.
I only had one song, and it's I'm All Right off 16 Lovers Lane.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Boom. All right. This is something I've been trying to keep on top of, but out of the... 69, 72, whatever songs it was. We picked 40 between us. Six of them are unanimous. Love Goes On, Spring Rain, Bachelor Kisses, Right Here, Park Company, Quiet Heart found all three of us, which gives Gavin the final say. And then let's see, what do we got here in the convo? We've got eight that we need to trim down to three before getting to Gavin's final say.
Oh, right. Yes, right.
So let's see, we got Streets of Your Town, Cattle in Cane, Apology Accepted, Bye Bye Pride, Draining the Pool for You, The Clark Sisters, Dive for Your Memory, and Clouds. I guess the first question is, do we care about representation? Because we've got Lover's Lane, two already. We got one from Liberty Bell, two from Spring Hill Fair, and one from Tallulah already.
We're doing pretty good with representation, right?
Yep.
We just don't have anything from the early...
Yeah, we don't have anything from before Hollywood. Yeah. The only thing alive still is Cattle and Cane. I don't know if we want that just to kind of go, hey, you know, here's a good way to get started.
I would argue strongly it has to be in there.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
All right. I was the odd man out there. I have no problem admitting I was wrong. Boom.
Awesome.
So let's get that as our seventh, and then that kind of scratches the early itch. I guess the next question is how much Lover's Lane do we want? I think we all agreed I know, Adam, it's not your favorite anymore, but I think it is their best. To me, best and favorite can be different.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it's probably is almost my favorite. Like, it depends on the day. It's Liberty Bell and that one. They're neck and neck for me. I absolutely love it.
So, I mean, do we want to put more in? Or because I'm already looking at, well, I'm looking at Bye Bye Pride was like really close for me, and that's Tallulah. So I don't know.
I'm totally down with that.
How many spots are left?
We have two before Gavin's final say.
I really do think A List Without Streets of Your Town is incomplete. But Bye Bye Pride I really love as well. What else have we got? Just want to...
Okay. Let me run them down.
Go through what we've got to see what we should knock down. Yeah.
All right. So we have Streets of Your Town, Apology Accepted, Bye Bye Pride, Draining the Pool for You, The Clark Sisters, Die Fear Memory, and Clouds are the ones that are still alive. And then the ones that are already in, just to make sure, the seven that are in, Love Goes On, Spring Rain, Bachelor Kisses, Right Here, Park Company, Quiet Heart, and Cattle and Cane. So you've already made the case Streets of Your Town you feel like should be in. Do we take Streets of Your Town?
I'm totally into that.
Yeah,
I love that song.
Do we take Streets of Your Town and Bye Bye Pride and then just give Gavin final say? Or do you think there's a better combination, Adam?
I personally would be happy with that. I think there's some songs that are just outside of that I feel sad about, but hopefully Gavin will pick one. But what do you think, Gavin? Are you comfortable with that?
That sounds great. And I think, you know, you'll be happy with my pick at the end.
I'm sure I will be, mate. I'm happy with everything on this list. So, yeah.
All right. So we'll do that. We'll take Streets of Your Town and we will take Bye Bye Pride. And that that takes us to Gavin's final say.
Okay, so then off the first album, just kidding. I'm gonna take "Dive for Your Memory." Of course, my favorite song by the Go-Betweens.
Hey, there we go.
Awesome, well done.
There we go, and that will take us.
Apologies to Apology. I think we need to apologize to Apology Accepted. There you go.
<That's>
and Draining a Pool of You. But there's some great other songs there, guys. If anyone listening wants to get. Dig in deeper. There's a couple that I would recommend.
It is funny that, you know, Apology Accepted is the only two I was in on, and it's outside of the tent. But like, when you look at it, this is one of those ones as you're getting down to these final couple of songs, I don't think there's wrong answers. You know what I mean? Like, I hate going obtuse like that. Like it feels like I'm, you know, copping out, but when we're narrowing it down to like, you know, the last three, it just feels right. But
Justin, this is for sure a band that benefits from familiarity.
Like,
you have to live with this band and go over these songs like over and over through the years. To like I was saying in the beginning, like I don't know what if I just listen to all these records and. A week or something. I don't know what my list would look like, you know?
You saw what mine looked like.
Probably a lot like yours.
I mean, you saw how many ones I had. Like, I was just, like you said, I feel like just the short time I spent with them, I feel like if I would have had even just one more week, my list probably would have been drastically different. So it's, it really is to your point. Like, the more you listen, the more you're going to find. Let me run this down real quick, what we got for our 10, and then we will pick the one. We got Love Goes On, Spring Rain, Bachelor Kisses, Right Here, Park Company, Quiet Heart, Cattle and Cane, Streets of Your Town, Bye Bye Pride, Die for Your Memory. There is no I there. Die for Your Memory. Based on those 10, Adam, which one is the one?
Oh, far out, man. I don't know. Can I just say before we do that, that listening to that list there, slightly counter to what Gavin said, if someone just listens to that playlist a few times, they will fall in love with that playlist, I reckon. We have done well to bring the cream to the top, I reckon, across their albums. I think we've done extremely well on our list. I think it's. Can I throw out a few candidates?
Sure.
Candidates. Yeah. So, I think you could go with Spring Rain, Right Here, Streets of Your Town, and maybe Cattle and Cane as a bit of a dark horse. I don't know which one.
Which way are you leaning, Gavin?
Well, so Die for Your Memory is my favorite, but my other choice would be Cattle and Cane.
Hmm.
I just think it's such an important song for them. And I don't know. I like all the songs. Of course, I love all the songs that you named, Adam. I don't really have enough of a fight about it. Like, any of those songs would be fine. But based on cross-referencing with your list, I would choose Cattle and Cane.
Hmm.
I'd be happy with that. I mean, it is got that real blend of, you know, Australia in it as well, plus that kind of new wave, edgy kind of sound that was coming out of the UK at the time. So, yeah, I don't know how it's going to go at the end of year list. But I'm not sure what. I don't really care that much about that. I think in the end, you know, it's got all the elements of what they were going to become as well, right? It's right at the beginning when they really found their mojo, and I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, great. That's all right. Awesome.
So, Cattle and Cane.
What
do you think, Gav? All right, what do you think, Justin? What would you have picked?
So the only other song I feel like I could have made a case for was Bachelor Kisses, because I feel like that's the moment they arrive, and it's like, by the way, here we are, and we're a force to be reckoned with. But it depends. Again, it kind of depends on what you want to present here. Like, do you want to present them in what is final form, or do you want to kind of show them getting there? And if you want to show them getting there, then it's Cattle and Cane. If you want to show them, you know, again, they grow from Bachelor Kisses, but I feel like that is the start of final form for them. So that's the only song I would make a case for.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense. I feel like Cattle and Cane was a bigger song than they were at that time that they wrote it. You know, it was like they reached farther than their ability and touched something like supernatural. I also think, and I've never thought of this before, Adam, but if you stuck Cattle and Cane on 16 Lovers Lane, it would work.
Mm. Yeah, it probably would. It would. It's just guitars, but, you know, they have a few songs on 16 Lovers that are just guitars, and it would work. It's I feel as an Australian, like it's a bit of a patriotic song in many ways. And should have more love here than it does. Yeah.
I think to that point, I think something we're kind of leaping over is when this song came up in conversation, one of the things that Gavin said was that it made him think of Australia, like his romanticized version of it, like what his fantasy of Australia is. And if they're able to paint that picture for an American, I think that speaks to something more again, to echo at Gavin's point of they reached past their ability and it did something kind of special. So again, I'm not arguing against. I just, you know, you asked me, is there a song I would have put out there? And that's why I offered up Bachelor Kisses. But I'm all for Callum Kane.
Also, if it was written on Nick Cave's guitar while he was out to it on heroin, then that's pretty cool too.
Yes.
That is really cool. I didn't know that story.
A bonus.
Also, yeah. It makes you think of Boyhood, no matter what country you're from. That's so cool. It's like, it's very specific to Australia, but it translates and brings me to my boyhood in whatever field, you know, I was walking through, which is different. I didn't have sugar cane, you know, but like,
it
spans
I know what you mean.
Continents, you know?
Well, I think we've done it then. I think we got our list. Callum Kane is going to be our number one. Love Goes On, Spring Rain, Bachelor Kisses, Right Here, Park Company, Quiet Heart, Streets of Your Town, Bye Bye Pride, Dive for Your Memory rounds out R10. Let's let Callum Kane get a moment in the sun. It's a little bit like when I think about it, like when we did the Tragically Hip. And like you had to kind of like take the entirety of Canada into account. Like the entirety of Canada had to be accounted for in the conversation. It is an interesting. I don't, you know, maybe this is more for after the fact, but I think there is something to that. But there we go. We've done it.
Yeah.
We've turned you on to the Go Betweens. I hope we've done them and you right. I think we did a list that that they would be proud of, and I genuinely think if you listen to this list, give it a couple spins, you will love this band. It's not easy, but it is. Just hit play, and you'll get there. That is a promise. Hey man, perhaps you want to come talk about a band. You know, all you have to really do is go to legionofstupid.com, click shows. Click deprogrammed, maybe half-ish way down. There's a sign-up sheet. Tell me what band you want to talk about. If it's a band we haven't done yet, it'll go to the list. And once there's a panel, I'll try to make it happen. We are growing internationally. I had somebody from Wales, a Welshman, reach out the other day. So we are growing into other countries as well. So very happy to see that. It makes me very happy that not only do people enjoy listening to the show, but actually want to participate. That makes me very happy. So keep that in mind as you're listening. If you want to come participate, that's how both of these gentlemen got here today. They heard episodes and they wanted to come talk about bands. And now they're on every couple of weeks. So just saying, it really is that simple. Let's see what else. Patreon.com/show. Hi, Justin. I got a new phone and apparently I am able to record and post right from there. So Hi Justin's might be coming back as a daily pod. Who knows? I don't want to promise that, but it is possible now. So we'll see. But you also get deprogrammed before the rest of the world. You'll get the conversation we're about to have called After the Fact. It goes straight there as soon as we're done talking. And other things kind of pop in there on occasion. So patreon.com/showed. Hi, Justin, $1 gets you in the door. It also gains you access to certain channels in our Discord, the Legion of Stupid Discord. If you want access to the Discord but don't care about the special channels, again, you can go to legionofstupid.com, click. There's a Discord link at the top of the page. Click that, join our server, and just come chat. We count in there. There's all sorts of wormholes. There's the Music Bot Boy where we kind of compare lists with each other. It's fun. It's a good time. A lot of go-between stuff in there for Adam right now. So
yeah, there is. It's heavy, heavy, heavy.
So all that's happening in the Discord. We're a podcast, obviously. Wherever you're listening, hit subscribe. If it happens to be on Spotify, 5 stars would be awesome. Answering the Q&A would be even more awesome. It does indeed help with the algorithm. I know that for a fact. I've seen it in the numbers. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, supposedly it does help, but that's where most of you listen. And not a lot of people have done the five stars and comments, so it's finding you other ways. So, but subscribing would help a great deal. But the absolute best way to help this show is by telling somebody that you listen to it. Hey, I listen to Deprogrammed. You should too. I would appreciate that more than words could ever do justice. And with that, the go-betweens, learn them and love them, people. We'll see you next week. Bye.